This is Henry Simon bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. In one moment, the search for Helena Carradine. Address unknown. Address unknown. Brought to you by Colgate-Palmolive, makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Palmolive Shaving Cream, Ajax the Foaming Cleanser, and Super Fab with Wonder White. And here again is Henry Simon.
2 years ago it was, early May, very bright sunny morning. As I'm accustomed, I got to the office early, before any other members of the staff. I was surprised to find that the door of my office was open. I entered, closing the door behind me.
Mr. Simon?
I was so surprised I started. I hadn't seen the man in the wing chair. I turned at the sound of his voice and saw a tall, good-looking figure in the act of rising. He was well-dressed, dark, a good head of hair. His face was lean. He was wearing an RAF tie and sunglasses. I knew his name was Carradine.
Good morning. Sorry to give you a fright like that.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Carradine? You're early. Your appointment isn't till 9 o'clock.
Oh, I do hope you'll forgive me barging into your office like this. I'm very poor at killing time. I arrived early. I thought I'd wait here.
That's quite all right. Would you like to come and sit opposite me?
I find this chair very comfortable, if that's all right with you, Mr. Simon.
Of course. Do sit down. Now then, what's the trouble, Mr. Carradine?
It's my wife. She's disappeared.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry to hear that. Would you like to tell me the circumstances surrounding her disappearance?
Well, I'll tell you what I can, which is very little. It was 3 days ago. I got home from the office, and she's usually... silly of me, still using the present tense. She was usually, I should say, waiting for me. On Tuesday night, she wasn't. I thought at first she was late, getting back from shopping or seeing friends, but the evening wore on, and Helena didn't turn up. I asked the staff if they knew where she was. Flippy, she's more like a member of the family than a servant, told me that Helena, that's my wife, had packed a bag earlier that afternoon.
And your wife didn't say where she was going?
No. And the funny thing is, her car was still in the garage.
You think if she'd been contemplating a long journey, she'd have taken the car?
No, if she'd been going anywhere, she'd have taken it, normally.
I see. Her disappearance is a complete mystery to you.
Absolutely.
You hadn't quarrelled?
No.
The aftermath of a quarrel some time ago, perhaps.
I think not. We're very happily married.
And the fact that she packed some of her things has led you to believe that her disappearance is voluntary. You don't think she's been abducted or kidnapped?
If I thought she'd been taken away against her will, this would be a matter for the police.
Quite so. How long have you been married, Mr. Carradine?
I always have to think about this. Since 46, that's...
13 years.
Yes.
Happily, you say.
Mr. Simon, ours was an ideal marriage.
And you've no idea why your wife should suddenly leave home like that?
None.
Money troubles, perhaps?
Mr. Simon, I'm a very wealthy man. My wife had everything.
These questions have to be asked, Mr. Carradine. You understand that?
No, of course.
Another man, perhaps?
No.
How can you be so sure?
I know my wife.
But not well enough to know the reason for her disappearance. What about relatives, Mr. Carradine? Have you contacted your wife's family?
I have. They were both surprised and distressed to hear about what's happened.
I see. And your friends?
They know nothing. I've been into all that very thoroughly. Ran into a brick wall. And, well, here I am.
What line of business are you in, Mr. Carradine?
I'm a factory owner. Plastics. Novoplas. May have heard of it.
Oh, yes. Anything from toothbrushes to household furnishings.
I started up after the war. My wife and I struggled together for a long time, but it was a worthwhile struggle. Now, this.
Did you meet your wife during the war?
Yes, I was injured during one of the last big daylight bombing raids on Berlin. I spent a long time in hospital. She was a nurse there. It's thanks to her that I've got what I have. There were times when I thought I was no good for anything anymore. It was she who gave me the courage to carry on fighting. I want her back, Mr. Simon, because what I've got is worth nothing without her.
I quite understand. Have you any children?
No, just Helen and myself.
Did you bring a picture with you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, could you have one sent to me?
Well, that's... it's going to be a little awkward. I don't believe we have any pictures.
No snapshots, wedding photographs?
Strange as it sounds, Mr. Simon, no.
Oh. Well, can you describe her for us?
Yes. She's about 5'6", slender, has long, silky hair, very smooth complexion, and extraordinarily long eyelashes.
A brunette, fair?
Brunette.
Colour of eyes?
Green. She's a very beautiful woman, Mr. Simon.
Well, it's not much to go on, Mr. Carradine. We'll do our best. Can I have your home address?
Certainly. 24 Abbey Road, St. John's Wood. And if you want to contact me by phone, you'll find us in the book. But I'll keep in close touch with you.
You've tried the relatives, you've called your friends. Isn't it possible that they may be hiding her?
For what reason, Mr. Simon?
I don't know. But in this business, Mr. Carradine, we come across some very curious things. I think you'd better give me the addresses of family and your immediate circle of friends. Having done so, John Carradine left. I summed up what I'd learnt from him. It was distressingly meagre, as I pointed out to Agent Paul Studdy.
Yeah, she could be anywhere. I wonder if she's left the country.
Why do you say that?
Oh, a rich dame. Maybe took it into her head to visit the south of France, Costa Brava.
In May, start of the English summer.
You got a point there. Still won't be any harm checking with the immigration authorities.
Well, I'll do that for you.
Well, I do what?
Yes, I see what you mean. I'll take your pick.
What was the servant's name again?
Carradine called her Flippy. Could be short for anything. Philippa, Miss Phillips.
Flippy. Well, maybe she knows more than she's telling. Anyway, we'll go dally a while with Flippy. I won't keep you long, just a few questions, you understand?
Yes.
Did Mrs. Carradine tell you where she was going?
No.
Did you help her pack?
Yes.
Now, what did she take?
A suit, three dresses, shoes, underwear, night things, and one or two odds and ends, souvenirs and whatnot.
Souvenirs?
Yes, little things she had on her dressing table. There was a clock set in shatterproof glass, from the early days, I think, when they started in business.
Mm-hmm. And what else?
Sounds a silly thing, I know, but there was a Mickey Mouse toothbrush holder.
Plastic?
Yes.
Go on, anything else?
Yes, Mr. Carradine's RAF identification tags. They used to hang on a bit of string on Mrs. Carradine's mirror. Ever so fond of them she was.
I see. When you helped her pack, did she say anything to you about where she was going and why?
I've been over this 100 times with Mr. Carradine. She rang for me. I walked in and saw her crying.
I want you to help me pack, Flippy.
Why, what on earth's the matter?
It's nothing you would understand. I'm going away.
Something's upsetting you. What is it?
I've just got to get away, that's all. And I must go now. Don't ask me why.
But this is so unlike you. Does Mr. Carradine know you're going?
No. That's why I'm going now. Before he comes back.
Oh, it's none of my business. But you and he, well, you're so happy together. Why do you want to run away?
Because I've got to. Oh, don't ask me any more, Flippy.
Can't I make you change your mind?
No. This is the way it's to be.
But Mr. Carradine's going to be awfully upset. You're going off like this. This will hurt him terribly.
Yes. But the hurt would be much more if I stayed. Now, be a good girl. Get me that soft-topped suitcase and hurry.
She cried like a baby when she left the house. I didn't know what to do. You see, it wasn't really any of my business. I mean, I'm only an employee here. I was in two minds whether to phone Mr. Carradine or not, but it would have been useless because by this time she'd have gone anyway. I was terrified of him coming home. I dreaded having to tell him.
Mm-hmm. And you say they were happy together?
Terribly. It's like I want it to be for me when I get married.
Did she walk, take a cab, or take a bus?
Taxi, from the corner. There's a rank there.
Hmm. Well, thanks, Phyllis.
Call me Flippy. Everybody else does.
Okay, Flippy. I better be going. Got a lot to do.
You will find her, won't you?
If I have to knock myself out in the process.
Well, that rules out the question of another man. If a woman's running off with her lover, she certainly wouldn't take things of sentimental value with her. Things like the clock, the toothbrush stand, and the identification tags.
I don't know. Women are strange creatures, you know, Chief, capable of some very funny things. How'd you make up with immigration?
Well, unless she's stowed away, she's still in the British Isles.
Somewhere among 60 million people. Never mind, I got a good lead from the fact that she took a taxi from the Rankin Abbey Road. That's my next move. Comb the taxi people.
Studdy spent the rest of that day on the phone, fruitlessly. It was about 11 the next morning by the time he'd ascertained which cabs were on the rank at the time of Mrs. Carradine's disappearance. He eventually found the man he was looking for and arranged to meet him at a Café de Mouvon, a coffee cart on wheels in Euston Road, which catered for taxi drivers such as Mr. Ronald Baines.
I'll make a nice cuppa here.
Yeah. Tell me, Mr. Baines, you were on the rank in Abbey Road, St. John's Wood, 4 days ago.
That's right.
You've been told that I'm looking for a woman you had as a fare. Picked her up about 4 o'clock or thereabouts.
That's right. So?
You remember then?
Oh, never forget a fare. Especially if the tip's right.
Oh, I get it. Cross my palm with folding money, eh?
Oh, I didn't say that. but I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
Oh, Tar. What do you want to know?
Now, wait a minute. Not so fast. The woman I'm looking for is...
Oh, no. I know. Crying her eyes out, she was. Got a soft-top suitcase with her in a terrible state. I watched her walk towards the rank in me driving mirror. Where to, lady? Lady.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes?
Where to?
Take me to the station.
Waterloo, King's Cross, Euston, Paddington, Victoria.
Euston. Yes, take me to Euston.
Anything else?
Did she say anything apart from what you've told me?
Oh, not another word, except to thank me. Oh, she was upset about something, all right. Very touching. Gave me a nice tip, though.
Yeah, from a financial point of view, you're very touching yourself.
Euston serves the west and northwest of England and also provides access to Northern Ireland.
Ireland?
Yes, the boat train from Liverpool. Oh, before I forget, Flippy phoned.
The Carradine soon. What does she want?
I don't know. I didn't speak to her. But apparently it's rather urgent. You better phone her right away. Here.
Thanks. What's the address of Mrs. Carradine's family?
They live in Chester.
Is Euston the station for Chester?
Yes.
Maidavale, 9632.
Flippy?
Speaking.
Paul Studdy, Missing Persons Bureau. Something come up?
I don't know, really. It may be nothing at all.
Well, come on, let's have it.
It's the calendar on Mrs. Carradine's dressing table. There's a ring round tomorrow's date in pencil. A thick black ring. And a name. Renishaw. I hadn't noticed it before.
R-E-N...
I-S-H-A-W.
W, thanks. Does that mean anything to you? I mean, who's Renishaw?
Or maybe it's a place. I don't know.
Mr. Carradine home?
No, he's at the works.
All right, Flippy, and thank you.
I hope it helps. Bye.
Well, Studdy?
Does the name Renishaw ring a bell with you?
Not at all.
Well, do me a favor, Chief. While I'm out, check on it for me. Could be a person or a place name.
Where are you going?
The Novoplast factory. Gonna see how Mr. John Carradine makes all his money.
The site of the Novoplast factory was at Brentford, not far from London Airport. It was an ultra-modern place, laid out in lawns and gardens, and the buildings were neat and compact. Studdy was ushered into the presence of the managing director, John Carradine.
Sit down, Mr. Studdy.
Thanks. Well, I get straight to the point. We've managed to trace your wife's movements as far as Euston Station. She took a cab there from the street outside your home. Any idea where she'd go from there?
Euston.
Her parents, maybe? Chester?
No, I checked there before coming to see you people.
Where, then? Do you mind if I smoke?
Well, I don't know. No, go ahead.
For you?
No, thank you. I'll smoke one of these.
Light?
No, it's all right. I've got my own lighter here. Somewhere.
I'll use mine. Go on, take a light. Well, what are you waiting for? The flame's over here, Mr. Carradine. But you can't see it, can you? You're blind.
Henry Simon returns to continue the story in just a moment. You are listening to Address Unknown, presented by Colgate-Palmolive. And here again is Henry Simon.
John Carradine had fumbled for his lighter and failed to find it. He couldn't continue to ignore the light being offered to him by study. He leaned forward expectantly, the cigarette in his mouth. But he'd turned in the wrong direction. The truth dawned on Study as he saw twin flames in the lenses of Carradine's dark glasses, which we'd mistaken for sunglasses.
Yeah, things fall into place now. Your early arrival at our offices before any of the staff so that you could feel your way around, find a chair. And your description of your wife, silky hair, smooth complexion, long eyelashes, all the things you knew by the sense of touch.
It's quite enough, Mr. Study. Now, please go.
Yeah, but why keep it such a secret?
I said, please go.
Why hide your disability?
Get out!
And why was he so angry? Strange. But what you've discovered also explains why he had no photos of Mrs. Carradine.
Yeah, a blind man has no use for photographs. Do you think we've lost a client?
No, I don't. Just because you stumbled across his secret, it doesn't follow that he doesn't want us to find his wife.
I didn't get around to asking him about Renishaw and the possible significance of tomorrow's date.
Well, here's a list of Renishaw's transcribed from all the directories.
Oh, thanks, Chief.
And these are the places. Villages in Wiltshire, Kirkcudbyshire, and Dorset.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Look at this. Renishaw, Sir Charles, eye specialist, 53 Wimpole Street. Now, this has possibilities.
Yes, could be worth your while. It's a logical tie-up, blind man, eye specialist. But all self-respecting physicians have shut up shop by this time.
Okay, I'll make Wimpole Street my first call tomorrow.
Is that all?
Is that all what?
You missed a golden opportunity for a crack. At the expense of the Barretts and Robert Browning. I think Study was disappointed to find that Sir Charles Renishaw sported neither mutton chop whiskers nor a stiff wing collar and cravat. He was a youngish man, intrigued by the visit of the agent from the Missing Persons Bureau.
Most distressing. A lovely woman. I can't understand it.
Well, if the Carradine servant hadn't been so sharp, I wouldn't be here.
Go on, Mr. Study.
Well, there's a heavy black ring around today's date on Mrs. Carradine's dressing table calendar. There's also your name, Renishaw. Can you offer any explanation for that?
Yes, I can. Today, I have an appointment with John Carradine at a nursing home. He's to undergo the last of a series of three operations. I'm going to perform the operation.
Oh, I see.
John Carradine has every chance of recovering his sight. You know he was blinded during the war. His aircraft was very badly shot about, and so was he. Flak exploded directly beneath the cockpit. He was so badly injured and shocked that the pupils of his eyes dilated to an extraordinary degree. Most unusual case. The purpose of the operations is to cause the pupils to contract back to their normal size. As I say, today's operation has everything in its favor. The two previous ops went according to plan, and today we hope that John Carradine will be able to see.
Do you mean he'll be able to see today?
Oh, no, Mr. Study. His eyes will be bandaged for quite some time. But when we remove the bandages, well...
I see. Tell me, Sir Charles, where did Carradine convalesce during the war? I mean, after he was shot up?
St. Dunstan's, Lytham, St. Anne's, Lancashire. Helena Carradine was a nurse there.
And she nursed him, looked after him?
Yes.
And why does John Carradine go to such lengths to hide the fact that he's blind?
You know he's a self-made man. Very strong personality. Well, he's also terribly proud and extremely independent. For example, he wouldn't use a stick and scoffed at the idea of having a guide dog. He was determined that his sight would come back to him. It's a sort of mental block. You see, in his own mind, he's not really blind. He's never really accepted his blindness. He wouldn't admit that it was a handicap.
Well, wasn't that dangerous? I mean, a blind man can't go running around like people who have their sight.
Ah, but that's where Helena came in. She was his eyes. In the early days, before he got so independent, she did everything for him. Took him everywhere. Nowadays, of course, now that he's a wealthy businessman, he has a chauffeur who drives him from place to place and gets around much more easily.
I see. Now, they were married in 1946. That'd be after or during his convalescence.
Yes. Well, the ideal couple, I'd say. Mrs. Carradine has an extraordinary capacity for understanding her man. He's a difficult man, make no mistake. He even rouses me on occasions.
Yeah, but the Carradine servant says that their home life was particularly happy.
I can well believe it. Carradine adores Helena, and she adores him.
Why should she suddenly take off like that, without telling anybody where she's going or why?
Well, that, Mr. Studdy, is a question I'm afraid I can't answer. I don't know, I'm sorry.
And the operation's today. Now, when do you think the bandages will come off?
Oh, I should think in about 10 days' time, about the 26th.
And do you think Carradine will be able to see?
If all goes well, yes.
Well, the next thing I suggest is that you check on relatives and friends. They may be hiding her.
Okay, Chief. I'll keep you posted.
I didn't hear from Studdy for almost a week. During his absence, I contacted Sir Charles Renishaw to find out how Carradine's operation had gone. I was told that it went according to plan. I was getting anxious about Studdy when he phoned.
Look, Chief, I'm in a terrible hurry. I'm at Euston Station. I've got a train to catch. It leaves any minute. I've checked on all the relatives, mother and father, aunts and uncles, the works, and I've been through the complete list of the Carradine's close friends. I've just had me a great idea.
Well, tell me about it. Where are you going?
Sorry, Chief, got to run. There goes my train.
Oh, dear. This time, Studdy was away for a further 2 days. There was no phone call, no telegram, no indication whatsoever of his whereabouts. And then in the early afternoon of the 9th day, he burst into my office.
Hello, Chief.
Where on earth have you been to get a tan like that? The south of France?
No, Lytham St. Anne's. A genteel seaside resort for the aged and sick people. There's a St. Dunstan's hospital there, too.
Look, Studdy, sit down and tell me quietly.
Okay.
I don't know what on earth you're talking about.
Well, the long and short of it is, I've found Helena Carradine.
Where?
I just told you, St. Dunstan's, Lytham St. Anne's. She was working there as a nurse.
And what stroke of genius took you to Lytham St. Anne's?
Well, during my routine checking, I found myself in the vicinity of Euston Station. You know the travel posters outside?
Yes, go on.
Well, there was one for Blackpool, the Tower, Circus, Fun and Frolics, and right next to it, there was another poster. Quiet, sedate, advertising the leisure to be found at Lytham St. Anne's. The taxi driver dropped Mrs. Carradine at Euston. Lytham St. Anne's, Euston, St. Dunstan's. Get it? It was a chance worth following up, and it paid off.
Now, this is splendid news. Where is she?
She's outside.
Well, bring her in.
Okay, but prepare yourself for a shock.
Why, what's wrong?
You'll see. Will you come through, Mrs. Carradine? Mrs. Carradine, this is Henry Simon.
How do you do, Mr. Simon?
I hoped I didn't appear rude, but I was very taken aback. Carradine had described his wife as beautiful. Sir Charles Renishaw had called her a lovely woman. But she was plain. Very plain. Almost ugly.
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. You are listening to Address Unknown, brought to you by Colgate Palmolive, makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Palmolive Soap, Ajax the Foaming Cleanser, and Super Fab with Wonder White. And here again is Henry Simon.
I quickly recovered from my shock, and Mrs. Carradine told us her story.
You see, Mr. Simon, my husband has never seen me. He thinks I'm a beautiful woman. While he was blind, I was safe. But the last of his operations was drawing close. I was afraid. Don't misunderstand me. I was happy for my husband. I knew how he longed for his sight. But I was afraid of the sight of myself. I panicked, having nursed my fear for a long time, and ran. It was only in the taxi that I decided to go back to nursing. But Mr. Studdy here persuaded me to return to London. I realized that I can't run away from this thing all my life. That's all.
I think you're a very brave woman, Mrs. Carradine. I suggest we make an arrangement for you to see your husband tomorrow. That's when Sir Charles is removing the bandages. I put the proposition to Sir Charles Renishaw, and he agreed to the meeting. Study and I accompanied Mrs. Carradine to the clinic in Hardy Street, where we were met by Sir Charles.
Ready, Mrs. Carradine?
Yes. Can he see?
Yes, he can.
Thank you.
A visitor for you, Mr. Carradine.
Helena.
Oh, my dear.
Sir Charles Renishaw smiled and closed the door on the couple. And now, as always, this is Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again. And for the present, bidding you au revoir.
Colgate-Palmolive invites you to listen next Friday evening at 8 o'clock when Henry Simon will introduce another story in their gripping and unusual series, Address Unknown.